Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. After new Israeli intelligence revealed that UNRWA staff directly participated in the October 7th massacre, members of Congress held a hearing to examine the agency's track record regarding support of Palestinian terror groups and promoting an anti-Israel and anti-Semitic incitement in Gaza. Officially, the UNRWA is a UN relief agency that supports the relief and human development of Palestinian refugees. Quote, let me be clear that we are examining UNRWA because the agency directly and indirectly supported Hamas and other terrorist organizations in many different ways, said Representative Brian Mast. Quote, I'm outraged by reports that at least 12 of UNRWA's own employees participated in or helped plan the heinous October 7th terrorist attacks against Israel, said Representative Kathy Manning. It's simply intolerable to allow a UN agency to have employees who are members of Hamas. The problems with UNRWA are grave, systematic, and beyond repair. The time has come for us and other donor countries to find an alternative to UNRWA. Okay, by the way, on last week's show, I mentioned the speech made by Congressman Richie Torres encouraging African Americans to support Israel as American Jews supported Martin Luther King. I posted Torres's speech on my blog on the show website, if you're interested. Okay, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is Marine vet Skip Coriel. Is the violence against the New York police by the illegal aliens affecting the number of people taking your training, Skip?
Well, yeah, actually it is. And it's not just that. There's all kinds of things happening. It's like people recognize that the criminal justice system is overwhelmed and impotent. And so, man, watch out for vigilantism. I can see it on the rise in America.
I fear that you're right. I hope not. But there we are. Well, here's what we have for you today. On News and Comment by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss the Texas border situation. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. Mark Tapson will present the disaster that is the DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion in our country. General Paul Valley will discuss the disaster that is our southern border. And Marines Gill and Skip will present the border and a book.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We really welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. Now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. Of course, we'll start with the news. Take us there, Skip.
Well, Colonel, the Iranian-backed militia group accused of carrying out a deadly attack on U.S. forces in Jordan recently killed three American troops, announced it was suspending military operations in Iraq. They said they would no longer target American troops in a campaign it and other Iranian-backed groups say has been waged in solidarity with the Palestinian people amid Israel's war in Gaza. Quote, we will continue to defend our people in Gaza in other ways and advise the fighters of Hezbollah, the brave and free, to adopt passive defense if any hostile American action occurs against them, the statement from the group's leader reads. In response, our forces conducted airstrikes in Iraq and Syria against Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, Quds Force, and affiliated militia groups. Our military forces struck over 85 targets with numerous aircraft, including long-range bombers flown from the United States. The airstrikes employed over 125 precision munitions. The facilities that were struck included command and control operation centers, intelligence centers, rockets and missiles, and unmanned aerial vehicle storages and logistics and munition supply chain facilities of militia groups and their Iranian sponsors who facilitated attacks against United States and coalition forces.
This could be a good beginning to letting the Iranian terrorists know that they best back off. They have to be hit hard and hurt severely, or they won't get the message.
And the European Union plans to launch a naval mission in the Red Sea this month to help defend cargo ships against attacks by Houthi rebels in Yemen that are hampering trade and driving up prices. EU Foreign Policy Chief Joseph Borrell said that he expects the bloc's foreign ministers to sign off on the mission when they meet on February 19. Officials say that seven EU countries are ready to provide ships or planes. Belgium has already committed to send a frigate. Germany is expected to do the same. The Iranian-backed Houthis have waged a persistent campaign of drone and missile attacks on commercial ships over Israel's offensive in Gaza against Hamas. However, the Yemen-based rebels have frequently targeted vessels in tenuous or no clear links to Israel, imperiling shipping in a key route for global trade between Asia, the Mideast, and Europe. Late last month, U.S. and British forces bombed multiple targets in 8 locations used by the Iranian-backed Houthis. It was the second time the two allies conducted coordinated retaliatory strikes on the rebels' missile-launching capabilities.
It's about time the Europeans do this, but we should thank them for stepping up. The world's commerce is at risk here, and all nations should be fighting the terrorists. All nations.
And Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said he never directed anyone on his staff not to tell the White House he'd been hospitalized and takes full responsibility for keeping President Biden in the dark for weeks that he'd been diagnosed with prostate cancer. Quote, "We did not handle this right, and I did not handle this right. I should have told the president about my cancer diagnosis. I take full responsibility," Austin said. Quote, "The news shook me," Austin, 70, said when he first got the diagnosis. "Frankly, my first instinct was to keep it private." Speaking to reporters, Austin provided his most extensive comments to date on the secrecy surrounding his cancer diagnosis and struggles with complications since his surgery on December 22. His lack of disclosure prompted changes in federal guidelines and triggered an internal Pentagon review and an inspector general review into his department's notification procedures. Both reviews are ongoing, and members of Congress have called for hearings on the matter. Austin was diagnosed with prostate cancer early in December and had surgery on December 22. On January 1, he was taken by ambulance to Walter Reed National Military Medical Center after experiencing extreme pain due to complications from the surgery and was admitted to the intensive care unit. He transferred decision-making authorities to Deputy Defense Secretary Kathleen Hicks, but did not tell her why. And he did not tell Biden and other top officials about his diagnosis, his surgery, or hospitalization until several days after he was in the ICU.
Secretary Austin is, I believe, the first person in this administration to admit fault for a wrong move. I respect him for that. Apparently, his staff did not inform the president, a clear mark of incompetence, and Deputy Secretary Hicks did not return from her vacation when she heard of his hospitalization. What a mess our Pentagon is.
North Korea recently extended a provocative series of weapons tests by firing cruise missiles into the sea, as leader Kim Jong-un called for his military to step up war preparations and toured a shipyard. South Korea's Joint Chiefs of Staff said the U.S. and South Korean militaries were analyzing the North Korean launches into its western sea. It said South Korea's military detected multiple missiles, but it did not immediately provide a specific number or an assessment of their flights. The launches, which were North Korea's fourth round of cruise missile tests this year, came hours after state media reported that Kim reiterated his focus on strengthening his naval forces as he inspected unspecified naval projects at a shipyard on the West Coast. Kim, in recent months, has emphasized efforts to build a nuclear-armed navy to counter what he portrays as growing external threats posed by the U.S., South Korea, and Japan, which has stepped up their military cooperation in response to Kim's nuclear weapons and missile program.
North Korea needs China's support just to feed its people. Kim is a dictator who wants to make others feel uncomfortable. North Korea is one of many nations that are at least a potential threat to us, and they're encouraged by our nation's demonstrated weakness. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing, but we can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a vet, in getting involved in getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk DEI with Mark Tapson. At East Troops, take a break. When considering precious metals investments, credibility is paramount. That's why I chose Universal Coin and Bullion. They have a long-standing reputation in the industry that instills confidence in investors. Plus, the company's president, Dr. Mike Fulgens is recognized as America's gold expert by his peers and the U.S. government, and was named Dealer of the Year by the American Numismatic Association. Call 800-UCB-GOLD or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny.
This is Marine vet Skip Coriel with your home defense tip of the week. According to the FBI, 85% of altercations don't rise to the level of deadly force. Make sure you have some open-handed self-defense skills or pepper gel to ward off these less-than-lethal attacks. Always have a plan to repel non-lethal attackers and make sure you are in compliance with all self-defense laws in your jurisdiction. This is just one way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
This is Colonel Denny Gilm. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you're in formation listening to the front lines of freedom all across America. Troops, even if our economy wasn't a mess with inflation and going up and prices up out of sight, I'd still recommend that you do some investing in precious metals, gold and silver. I encourage you to join me in purchasing those solid investments from Universal Coin. Find them at universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. In the brewing showdown between Texas and the Biden administration over the border crisis, the Lone Star State is embroiled in at least three lawsuits over its efforts to defend its borders. The state has erected physical barriers and implemented its own legal regime to prosecute and deport illegal aliens. The federal government has challenged those efforts with the legal battles going on. Experts don't know where this will come out. Mexican drug cartels, which traffic in illegal substances such as fentanyl, are driving an unprecedented human influx that has dominated the news cycles and become one of the largest concerns among all Americans. As of June of 23, about 16.8 million illegal aliens reside here, significantly over the 15.5 million of the year before. Now illegals impose an additional cost of $150.6 billion on taxpayers. Texas officials can't charge those apprehended with violating federal immigration law, so the Texas National Guard is handling detainees over to the Texas Department of Public Safety to be charged with trespassing under state law. The growing throngs of illegal immigrants flowing across the border have been characterized by many as an invasion, which it clearly is. 25 Republican governors have united behind Texas, and some are sending their own National Guard troops to help out. As their jurisdictions are overwhelmed with illegal aliens, some Democrats, such as New York City Mayor Eric Adams, have joined in criticizing Biden's lax immigration enforcement. An unofficial conversation with some longtime Customs and Border Protection agents have found all of them very unhappy. Many shared that before Biden, they thoroughly loved their job. Trump, they said, let them do their job. Many were retired military and felt that protecting our border allowed them to continue their service to our country. They were livid at being converted into Uber drivers for illegal aliens. One agent said, we give them bank cards, work permits, and let them stay in our hotels or schools. And right around the corner are homeless Americans who politicians could not care less about. When asked about resigning, they said, if we're not here, it'll get worse. This is not an easy job. It takes training and experience. You think it's bad now, what do you think would happen if we walked off the job? I care too much for the country to let that happen, they said. As for the terrorists that have come in, the agents all thought it's just a matter of time before we have one or several 9/11s. And I agree, terror is here. We just don't know when and where they'll strike. When discussing Biden's threat to cut their razor wire, they were asked if there could be an armed clash between the Texas Guard and the Border Patrol. Absolutely not, they said. What Biden's doing for this country has got to stop. We're both on the same team, Team America. Hey, what good people these border people are. Hey, but please don't think that President Biden isn't working to stop bad people from getting into our nation. He just directed sanctions against Israeli settlers accused of being against Palestinians. The president said the actions of certain West Bank settlers risk undermining the peace and stability throughout the broader Middle East. Biden's sanctions come shortly after his administration imposed new policies revoking U.S. visas and entry into the U.S. for Israeli citizens suspected of participating in violence and intimidation in the West Bank. Let's see, our government is truly facilitating financial growth and increase in power of the illegal Mexican cartels, which is also hurting the Mexican government. How would we feel if Mexico or Canada were strongly supporting major crime groups in our country? And our government has allowed millions of illegal aliens into our nations, and we, the people, have to feed them and house them. And this includes all the crooks, smugglers, and terrorists, you know, the ones that have attacked and beat up some New York police recently. Hey, but they're not all bad people. Hey, if only 1% are bad, that would be 168,000 violent criminals. No problem, right? No. So our border's a horrible disaster that needs to be shut down now and the illegals exported. And our president is worried about allowing some Israelis to visit our nation. Our nation awaits a domestic terror strike. Ours is truly a state of disaster. Keep fighting, Texas. And by the way, what benefit to our nation is all these illegal aliens? What benefit? None. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have to share this week, Roland?
You know, Colonel, the warrant officer rank has been part of the U.S. military for decades. Chief warrant officers are officially commissioned, the same as commissioned officers, and take the same oath. Warrant officers rank above all enlisted, but below the officer rank of O1. And generally, warrant officers are experts in a particular field and have long service as enlisted personnel. However, that can be a little different in the Army, as many helicopter pilots actually start out as warrant officers. All U.S. Armed Services employ warrant officers, except for the U.S. Air Force and Space Force. And although it's still technically authorized, the Air Force discontinued appointing new warrant officers in 1959, retiring the last chief warrant officer from the Air Force Reserves in 1992. However, this could all be changing. Air Force officials are considering bringing back warrant officers and may even start creating a training program yet this year. A three-page planning order says that there's a need to bring back warrant officers due to the, quote, great power competition, which is Defense Department speak for escalating defense spending and resources against such adversaries as China. The document goes on to say the service must examine new ways to develop and retain a highly capable, technical, capable core of air-minded warriors. Quote, to fully leverage the technical depth and breadth of talent of our airmen and cultivate the strategic advantage U.S. Air Force technicians have historically provided, we will make the necessary preparations to reestablish a warrant officer corps and develop foundational training for designated W-1 candidates. The planning order, which originated from the Air Force University and was dated January 26, was marked controlled unclassified information, a term that's used for unclassified but protected information. So I'm really not sure why we're seeing this information out in the public. You know, the Air Force had warrant officers when it spun off into a separate service branch in 1947. It's a role that they had actually inherited from the Army. And according to the Warrant Officer Historical Foundation, the Air Force discontinued the grade in 1959. They determined that structure, training, and retention needs were best served by eliminating their warrant officer program. And there was approximately 4,500 Air Force warrant officers authorized when this decision was made. The last active duty Air Force warrant officer was CWO4 James H. Long, who retired in 1980. And the last Air Force Reserve warrant officer was Chief Warrant Officer 4 Bob Barrow, retired from the ranks in 1992, and was honorably promoted to CWO5. He is still the only person in the Air Force to have ever held that grade. Now, per the document, it does not appear that the new warrant officer program would be producing pilots. The Air Force has previously shut down this idea of using warrant officers as a way of filling the ongoing pilot shortage. In fact, in 2018, the Air Force had hired RAND Corporation to look at the idea, but its study did not recommend it. So these proposed new warrants will likely be non-aviation technical experts and will likely come from active duty, Air National Guard, and Reserve enlisted ranks, very similar to how the Navy and the Coast Guard use warrants. You know, as a retired W-4, I can tell you I loved being a warrant. I was able to focus on my specialty and not get caught up in how I'm going to get promoted to captain and above. Personally, I think it's the best rank in the military. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. I appreciate you, bro. Thank you. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss diversity, equity, and inclusion with Mark Tapson. Then we'll talk with General Paul Valley about our southern border. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You're standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for some wind sprints. Do them for a couple of miles, then stand at ease.
From ensuring veterans get the care they deserve, to ending our nation's endless wars, to targeting out-of-control spending, Concerned Veterans for America is taking on the most important issues facing America.
You can help CVA shape a better future for Americans everywhere. Visit CVAFrontlines.com to learn more and join the movement. That's CVAFrontlines.com.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome Mark Tapson. He's the Shulman Fellow of Popular Culture at the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Mark, you're really up to date on things like diversity, equity, and inclusion, better known as DEI. It's one of the foundations of our nation's politically correct movement right now.
Yes.
And it's the one that, in my opinion, is destroying our nation as well as destroying our military. So welcome aboard.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's an honor to be here.
How did you get involved in all this?
Oh, well, I've been writing about politics and culture, or what I call the intersection of politics and culture, for a long time now. 15, 18 years, maybe. I started thanks to Andrew Breitbart, the late, great Andrew Breitbart, who was a real culture warrior for conservatives until his untimely death. He got me started doing this. Prior to that, I had actually been a Democrat for most of my life, although I wasn't interested in politics. I didn't care anything about politics. I was completely involved in the arts and academia and things like that. Those were my interests, and I had zero interest in politics. But you know what they say, you may not be interested in politics, but politics is interested in you. So eventually, I had a political epiphany and conversion, and then began meeting some of the right people like Andrew Breitbart, and became a culture critic and political writer. And I've been focused on the ways in which the left has infiltrated and subverted us, culturally speaking, because that's really how they've won the culture war. I mean, we're not in a position to wage a culture war. The right's only in a position at this point to wage a culture insurgency, because for decades now, the left has been working to control all the different arenas of culture, and they've done that pretty successfully. And this whole DEI movement, diversity, equity, and inclusion, as you mentioned, that's part of that. In fact, that's kind of the tip of the spear at the moment. That and gender ideology are really kind of the tips of the spears of the leftist subversion of our culture and our country.
You know, what you say makes a great deal of sense. I taught political science at college for about 15 years, and I was one of a small group of conservative political science profs.
I bet.
And we had a little saying among ourselves that if you are not a liberal at age 20, you have no heart. And if you're not a conservative at age 40, you have no brain.
Yes.
And it sounds like you may have fallen into that category, too.
Definitely.
DEI 101. Everybody's heard it. I mean, explain it in as much as you can.
Yeah.
What is it? So that we know when we're seeing it and where it's trying to take us.
Yes. Well, it sounds good. You know, diversity, equity, inclusion. I mean, who doesn't want, for things to be diverse and inclusive and all that? They sound marvelous. But in fact, what diversity means is non-white. What equity means is discrimination. It's not equality. Equity is not, they don't use the word equality anymore, like they did back in the civil rights movement from the 60s and beyond. They use the word equity now. Equity means literally discrimination. It means current discrimination to atone for past discrimination. Inclusion means, again, similar to diversity, it means kind of sending whites to the back of the bus. And by whites, I'm also including Jews and Asians in that, because the left doesn't really consider Jews and Asians to be part of the oppressed classes. They're designated victimhood classes, because Jews and Asians tend to be, you know, they're generally speaking, very successful minorities in Western culture and in America. And so they don't fit the victimhood narrative that the Democrats like to push. A diversity, equity, and inclusion is a movement that has infiltrated basically every human resources department across the country. I mean, it's just completely overwhelmed and conquered corporate America, government bureaucracies, and even the military, as I'm sure you and your listeners well know. And the aim of it is, supposedly or purportedly, the aim of it is to create more opportunities for people who have been historically marginalized, as the phrase goes, or historically oppressed. And but what it actually, the intent of it is actually to dismantle the supposed systemic racism of a white supremacist society, because that's where the left is coming from. Their perspective is entirely a kind of a neo-Marxism, where they view everything through this lens of oppressor versus oppressed. And the oppressor group includes white people, straight people, conservatives, Christians, people who were kind of traditionally the norm in America. And the left sees that system as systemically racist and white supremacist. So their goal is to dismantle that, to tear everything down and start over again, building a more just and equitable society. So diversity, equity, and inclusion are designed to, well, what they accomplish, in fact, is to prioritize the hiring of minorities over merit, which is not to say that there aren't any minorities who have merit in their positions and their jobs, but the aim is just to diversify employees or members of an organization by skin color. And of course, that what that tends to do is push merit to the back of the bus, which is something that, when it comes to the military, is going to have tremendously negative consequences. So anyway, that's kind of where diversity, equity, and inclusion, that's what they're all about and what they're designed to do.
Okay. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing DEI with Mark Tapson. You know, in the military, two things come to mind. One is that the new chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, an Air Force officer, has set a goal of having fewer white pilots in the Air Force.
Yes.
Now, that sounds absolutely obscene to me.
Yes.
And on the other hand, I've got friends who are currently black minorities in the military, and they're upset by that because they want to get promoted based on their ability, not based on their skin color. And when they get promoted or honored or whatever, promoted based on skin color, they feel insulted.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of goofiness going on here, isn't there?
Yes, and it's very destructive to racial tensions or racial relations. It's very destructive to that. And it's destructive, especially regarding the military. It's destructive to military cohesion. And that's something you don't want to have among your troops. You don't want to have racial bitterness or tension going on. I mean, we've got a military leadership now that goes all the way to the top that has expressed that they've openly said that the two existential threats, the two greatest existential threats to America today are climate change and whiteness. I mean, this is just insane. These are, you know, those are not our enemies. That's not who the military should be focused on. But when you have a military leadership that says that we want to root out whiteness from the troops and we want to enlighten our white troops about how inherently racist they are. Imagine the effect that that's having. In fact, you can see the effect. I'm sure you know that military recruitment is down now. especially among white people, because whites are getting, white young people who might otherwise want to join the military are getting the message loud and clear that they're going to be viewed with suspicion, that they're going to be discriminated against. And so the military is now having trouble recruiting people, especially among white people. And so it's just having a terribly corrosive and divisive effect on our military, which is, of course, going to terribly affect our national security.
Yes, indeed.
And our enemies know this.
Bingo. And they know it, and they are acting now like they do know that we're ineffective as our military. There's more to discuss about DEI, and Mark is going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. Yeah, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do, well, often each week. Then take a break and stay in the area. I'll be right back.
HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with all of your everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, health-related services, or information on retirement planning, financial resources, or more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all of your daily needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net wants to thank you for your service, and may God continue to bless the U.S. of A.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S. only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer. When you shop at PatriotFoods.com, we give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off PatriotFoods.com. 10% off promo code FREEDOM and shop today.
In business for over 30 years with over $1 billion in sales, Universal Coin and Bullion is my go-to source for gold and silver coins. And right now, they're offering our listeners a newly minted 0.99 fine 1 ounce 2024 silver American Eagle coin for just $27. Call 800-UCB-GOLD, 800-UCB-GOLD, or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Front Lines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Mark Tapson about DEI. Mark, it's pretty clear that this is something that has nothing positive to it, but it's obviously a movement by some groups to get power, and power usually equals money too. Talk more about it, and particularly, what can we do about it?
Well, what we can do about it, there are a couple of things we can do. First of all, I'd say the right mostly just needs to be aware of it. We need to really be focused on learning about the ways in which the left is trying to undermine our entire society, our entire culture. And we need to learn about DEI and understand that it's really a subversive, kind of a neo-Marxist movement to undermine all the foundations, all the traditions, all the moral values, our history, our heroes, our icons. It's designed to tear everything down. That's the aim of the left, because, you know, they had this utopian vision of creating a perfect society, of socially engineering this perfect society where there is no more racism, no more inequality, no more crime. Nothing, you know, it's completely different from the conservative viewpoint, which recognizes that humans are fallen, imperfect beings, and that we can never create a perfect society. We can obviously do everything we can to improve ourselves, but any attempt to socially engineer a perfect society is, as you can see throughout history, it always results in an ugly dystopian totalitarianism, because you can't socially engineer something without very quickly resorting to coercion and totalitarianism. But that's the left's aim, is to tear down our society because it's faulty, and to create this perfect society in its stead. And so that's what's behind DEI and all of these other, you know, the gender ideology and everything. It's designed to tear down all our norms and traditions and standards and start over again. And so that's something conservatives really have to educate themselves about. And yeah, go ahead.
We do. And, you know, our nation was founded by people who were creating a constitutional republic with something that had never existed before in the history of the mm-hmm. world. And if you read the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, they had great intentions. They didn't achieve them all immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Treating all people equally was something they stated, that it took us a while to achieve that.
Yeah.
But we always moved in the right direction. Yes. I graduated from West Point in 1964. That was the year of 64, 65 was when all the civil rights stuff finally passed.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, while I was in the Army, I saw that being implemented. Were there jerks? Yes. Were there people being goofy? Yes. But most people liked the idea. I worked with black and white and Hispanic and every other kind of officers and enlisted men,
mm-hmm.
and we worked together. Again, every group's got their jerks in it, and
sure,
that's given. But I have seen, as an adult, our nation move very much in the right direction of,
mm-hmm.
Are we perfect? No. Is there room for improvement? Always. But we've moved really in the right direction. And now suddenly, we seem to have hit a brick wall of some kind.
Yes.
And at the same time, my alma mater, West Point, there was a lawsuit in the last month or two, I guess it was going before that, where they ruled that Harvard and those schools could not use race in admissions, but West Point was allowed to, because West Point said, we're not a standard college, which is true. We're mm-hmm. trained military people, which is true. And we need to allow race because it's important, because we're raising military leaders, and that makes us able to do that better. It makes it better? How does it make anything better? So those are my sort of observations as a military guy.
Well, you're absolutely right that for a long time we were moving in the right direction, but things have been reversed now. I mean, think about this, Denny. Martin Luther King Jr., who famously said that he had a dream about a day when his children would be judged by the content of their character and not the color of their skin. That statement would be deemed racist today by today's left. They would view Martin Luther King as a racist for having that kind of attitude, precisely because he is trying to erase skin color as a consideration. They don't want that because far left, they can't accumulate power that way. They have to rub raw these kind of racial resentments underlying certain segments of American society. They need to exploit that and to keep those resentments alive in order to seize power and to push things in the direction, in the destructive direction that they want to go in. So this notion that we should be colorblind and judge people on the content of their character, that does not work for the far left. That doesn't accomplish the subversive aims that they're built working toward.
And you know, and that's insane, because I don't care where you stand on anything. If you just think, how does, to use West Point's thing, making race and other DEI selection process, how does that make raising military leaders better?
Yes.
You know, the big thing when I was leading men in combat was, we take care of each other.
Sure.
We may not like each other as friends, but we respect each other and fight together and work together and protect each other because we're part of a team.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked really well. We did really well. And had we had race or gender preference and that kind of stuff even considered, I can't imagine it working well.
No. No, it's divisive. I mean, it's just inherently a divisive way to view society and for us to view each other. That's what identity politics, that's the damage that so-called identity politics does, is it puts people in these boxes, in these categories, some of which, as I mentioned earlier, are deemed to be oppressed groups and others are the oppressors. And it's just inherently divisive. And this is disastrous for military cohesion in a unit. You can't have people viewing themselves as parts of different categories, as disparate from each other. You've got to have, you know, guys who have each other's backs and who will literally die and kill for each other. And you can't have that if you've got this kind of underlying resentment or suspicion or this sense that somehow you're different from your fellows, you know, from the guy at your right shoulder and your left shoulder. It's disastrous to military cohesion.
Well, and you don't have to be a PhD in psychology to figure that one out. It just plain does not make sense to do things like that.
Yes.
Mark, take a minute and summarize your thoughts. Then take a minute and talk to us about the David Horowitz Freedom Center.
Sure. Yeah, well, I mean, to summarize, the whole diversity, equity, and inclusion, the DEI movement, it really has to die, D-I-E. DEI has to D-I-E.
Okay.
We've got to end this because it's seriously corrosive at every level of American society. And we are seeing some pushback among conservatives, especially like in Florida, for example, where activist Chris Rufo and Governor Ron DeSantis there have actively pushed back against this whole notion of DEI. So we're starting to turn the tide a little bit, I think. So that's a positive. And as for the David Horowitz Freedom Center, we're a nonprofit organization that's really focused on defending our constitutional freedoms, defending the rights of free peoples everywhere against enemies, both internal and external. And that's part of what I like to think I'm doing there with my writing and podcasting there. And the Freedom Center's got a lot of great commentators, a lot of great political commentary. Horowitz is just a real hardened warrior in this respect. He actually came out of the far left and had his own political conversion and epiphany. And now, for the last several decades, he's been just one of the fiercest battle tanks for conservatism that you could name. So I'm honored to be working with the Horowitz Freedom Center.
Okay. How can listeners plug in to stay in touch with you and the Freedom Center? How do they do that?
Best thing for me personally is to go to it's a Substack account. It's kind of a platform for writers. It's called marktapson.substack.com, or that's the address. And my handle there is Culture Warrior. In terms of the Freedom Center, our flagship website there is called frontpagemag.com. That's where you'll see all of our political commentary and links to other sites that the Freedom Center runs.
Mark, thank you. Thank you for your great comments today and your service, your clear love for and your way you're serving our nation. Thank you.
My pleasure, Denny. Thanks for having me on and thank you for your service.
This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking with General Paul Valley about our southern border. Then Gil and Skip will present the Marines B&B. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our self-defense report. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for pull-ups. Do 35 good ones and a few push-ups. Then grab some protein, rehydrate with water. And finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.